Well, good news has been our theme for Advent this year, and we just thought we needed to hear good news in the midst of all that's happening. I said last Sunday we were going to be looking at the message the angel shared with the shepherds on the night of Jesus' birth. We looked at that passage last Sunday in Luke chapter 2, and I want us to look at it once again this morning to focus specifically on a couple of verses beginning at verse 8. I'm going to read this from the King James Version. I memorized it as a kid from the Christmas passage. I probably was the narrator in a Christmas play or something, but anyway, Luke chapter 2 verse 8 says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And I want to just focus on each of those words and the words that the angel spoke, beginning with those first two words, fear not. I love the fact that those are the first words that God speaks in the New Testament. We find it in Luke chapter 1, the angel Gabriel said this to Zechariah, to the father of John the Baptist. He says, fear not, don't be afraid. The angel says it again to Mary and to Joseph, fear not. We hear Jesus speak those words frequently to his disciples. Remember when he came walking on the water during the storm, it is I, don't be afraid. Fear not, fear not. It's the message from heaven to us today. It's the message I want you to hear. Don't be afraid. I understand we're living in fearful times. And Jesus said in Luke 21 regarding the last days, he said, "And men's hearts will fail them for fear, apprehensive of what is coming on the world." Sounds kind of like 2020 to me, doesn't it, you? I mean, what isn't frightening about this year? We've had a little bit of everything. Now we're even frightened by the solutions to our fears. We're afraid of the virus, but we're afraid of the vaccine. You know, it just kind of keeps going. What else can happen? 2020 is frightening. But the truth is, life in Israel in the first century wasn't exactly a walk in the park. Political strife, you could be arrested, executed for just about anything. There were health problems, pandemics that were still raging through the earth. The truth is, the world is often just a pretty scary place. It is, regardless of what century or season. But the good news from heaven was then and is now, fear not. Don't be afraid. But you say, but how can we do that? I mean, look what's going on. How do we avoid being frightened and being afraid? Well, look at the next word, behold. Behold. Here's the answer the angel gives. Look. Look where I want you to look. Behold. This won't surprise you, perhaps, but the word behold means to hold, to keep. It means to hold your gaze on something intently, to look at and keep looking at it, to observe and stay focused on that. And here's what I'm trying to tell you. We keep from being frightened by beholding the right thing, by looking in the right direction. We're not just looking at our fear or what frightens us. We're looking to the source of our deliverance and our help. The writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews 12, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith." It's what the angels were telling the shepherds and all of us in some sense. Look to Jesus and you won't have to be afraid. Behold him. Don't be frightened by what you see or hear around you in the world. Instead, behold the answer. Behold the glory of God. Behold the giver of life. Behold the source of hope that's born today in Bethlehem. Behold the Savior. Behold Emmanuel, God who is with us here and now. Look to him. Look in the right place. Keep looking to the King. It's like Jesus telling Peter to walk on water. Just look at me and come to me. And the Bible says when Peter began to look at the waves, he lost sight and began to sink, and Jesus rescued him. Don't look at the wind and the waves, look at Jesus. Focus on Jesus. Fix your eyes on him. Because the truth is, just about anywhere else you look today will leave you frightened or disillusioned. I don't care what social media you look at or newspaper you read or whatever. I'm telling you, look to Jesus. Look in the right direction. Keep looking at him. Behold him, and you won't have to be afraid. I think the angels, when they said behold to the shepherds, I think it helped fix their attention. You know, it's possible they were so enthralled by this angel that suddenly appeared to them out in the shepherd field that they had to be reminded, look, it's not about the angel saying, behold, not me, not the glory that shines around me. Behold the one who's come to save you from your sin. Behold the one who is the giver of life. Look, a Savior is born. That's who you need to look to. And so I think they helped, that word just kind of helped them fix their attention. Look, don't miss what God is saying. Don't miss what God is doing in this moment, in this season of our lives, in this very moment. Whatever you're going through, whatever you're experiencing, you're watching this today, behold, pay attention to what God wants to do. Take a hard look at what God is saying and what God is doing, even through the craziness of 2020. Take time in this Advent season, this week of Christmas, to behold Jesus and his plans and his good purposes for you. Then the angel said, I bring you good tidings. Good tidings is a translation of a Greek word from which we get our word evangelize. It means to announce, to tell especially good news. The angel came to announce the good news that a Savior is born. It's the gospel. Jesus has come and offers life and forgiveness and salvation to all who will trust in him and believe. I bring you good tidings of great joy, he says. I bring you good tidings of great joy. It's not just good news. It's not just some good news. It is the good news. It is the best news. It's news that produces joy. And not just joy, but exceedingly great joy. Our friend Gail Irwin would say exceedingly great joy. It's exceedingly great joy. And in a world reeling from the barrage of daily bad news and the horrible things that have happened around the world, in the midst of that comes the news, the good news of the gospel, news beyond anything we've ever heard before. Good news, God hasn't given up on us. He hasn't given up on you. Good news, he sent his one and only Son to be the Savior and the Lord of your life, to redeem us from our sin. Good news, Christ is born. Good news, there's hope after all. Good news, his name is Emmanuel, God with us. It's good news producing the greatest joy. I know people are searching for joy in this world, and we look for it in all kinds of places, but let me tell you, there's only one source for real joy, and that's Jesus and the hope that we have in him. Life can bring some moments of happiness, but those are usually based on circumstances, and we see it all the time. People that, from our standpoint, looks like they've got everything. They've got wealth and fame, status of celebrity. They live in a mansion or whatever, and yet they're trying to fill their life. We hear sordid details of all the brokenness and the multiple divorces and marriage, looking for something, and drug addiction, and then oftentimes, you know, it ends in despair and in suicide. What in the world? It's because joy is not found in things. The songwriter Lanny Wolf wrote a song that said, only Jesus can satisfy your soul. Only Jesus can do that. He's the source of joy. Life can bring moments of happiness, but real joy is found in knowing God, in having a right relationship with him through faith in Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of our sins. Knowing Jesus as your Savior and Lord, that brings life and joy. The Bible says the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Righteousness, peace, and joy that comes to us in our life. Joy comes from Jesus living in your heart and in your life, forgiving your sin and being the center of your life. Joy comes from being a citizen of his kingdom. Joy comes from the presence of the Holy Spirit at work in your life, because part of the fruit of the Spirit, part of what the Holy Spirit produces in us, is joy. And the kind of joy he gives us, that lasts even in the face of hardship. Heaven's joy remains when circumstances are against us and when life seems unfair or difficult. Heaven's joy outlasts pandemics and political strife and everything else. Heaven's joy remains. Peter writes about Jesus and this joy he brings when he says, although you've not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy. For you're receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. King James translates it as joy unspeakable and full of glory. Jesus has come to save us. This is good tidings of great joy. Unspeakable, indescribable, exceedingly great joy. Salvation has come, and we rejoice in that. He says, you believe, and now you have this incredible, exceedingly great joy, for you're receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Hallelujah! We have joy today because Jesus has come and has saved us from our sin. And so the angel says, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And this part thrills me. It's good news for everyone, not just for a few, not just for a few specially chosen people. It wasn't just for the Israelis. It's not just for Americans, not just for Europeans, not just for the brave, the handsome or beautiful, the gifted or the talented, the rich or the famous, the black or the white or the male or the female. It's for all the people. And that means it's for you. And that means it's for me. If you've lived your life, your whole life, feeling excluded, feeling like you didn't fit, like you didn't belong, you were less than, you were never chosen, you were the last one, you know, standing on the playground when they were choosing up teams, you've always been kind of left out somewhere or another, you've always had that feeling that it's probably not for the likes of people like me, then boy, is this good news. This salvation and this Savior is for you. It's for all the people. All the people. It's inclusive of all the people. And then he says, for unto you. It's for all the people. For unto you. And as grateful as I am that it says this good news is for all people, King James at one place says, whosoever will may come. Whosoever will. I read something, I think it was John Bunyan that was supposed to have said that I'm grateful it said whosoever will, because if it just said John may come, I would have thought he's probably talking about another John and not me. It's whosoever will may come. But it's not just for all the people, but it also says unto you. Unto you. This is good news, glad tidings of great joy for all the people, and then for unto you. It suddenly becomes personal. And imagine the shepherds that heard the angel's word, unto you. This is for all the people, and they had to be thinking, oh, all the people, right? You mean all the people that live in town. This is good news for all the people that have means, for all the people that have got a job, for all the people that are accepted, you know, by society or whatever. But then the angel says, for unto you, and it suddenly becomes personal, unto me, the shepherd, you talking to me? You mean me? Because nothing good comes to shepherds. Nothing good comes to me. No one would come to save me. But that's what the angel said. No, unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior. This salvation is for you, yourself, personally. This Savior came to save the whole world. But he came to save you. You watching right there alone in your living room or watching in your car, or watching wherever you are. He came to save you. You see, the gospel has to be received individually, personally, by faith. We talk as evangelicals, as Protestants, we talk about having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. What we mean is that it has to be received by us. It's not, well, I joined a church and everybody else was a Christian, that makes me a Christian, or America's a Christian nation, I must be a Christian. No, no, no. It's personal. He came for you, and it means a personal response, received by faith. That passage we read from 1 Peter said, you personally are receiving the outcome of your faith, salvation. It's personal. Your faith, your salvation. It's good news as you repent of your sins and put your faith and your trust in Jesus for your salvation. You have to do this. It's for you, but you have to make that choice to repent of your sins and ask Jesus to be Savior and Lord of your life. Mom might have done it. Dad might have done it. Your grandparents did it. Your siblings, your spouse, your kids. But sir, you have to do this. It's not enough that your wife and kids go to church. You have to make this choice. You have to decide. You need to put your faith and your trust in Jesus. Repent of your sins and let him be the Savior and Lord of your life. For unto you, hear me again today, he loved you. He came to save you. Have you asked him to save you? Have you put your trust in him? Jesus and his gift of salvation, oh, it's personal. It's for all the people, but it's for you. For unto you is born. What a sacrifice. Unto you is born this day in the city of David. That suggests something to us. Born to us. Not, he didn't just suddenly come down upon us. No, God in flesh appearing, born of a virgin. God of the ages now as an infant. And the fact that he's born reminds us again of the sacrifice involved in the incarnation, that God became man, became flesh. Theologians talk about the condescension. It's the degree of such infinite love that God the Son would lay aside his heavenly power and heavenly glory to be born a helpless infant. And he did that in order to dwell among us. And he did that so that he could be the kinsman redeemer to redeem us from our sin. What redeeming love and what sacrifice. Because he was born to us and born as us, he understands our struggle. He understands our sorrow and our pain. He knows what it is to be tempted, to be tried, to be tired, to be hurting, to be lonely, to be suffering. He knows what it is to be an alien. He knows what it is to flee for his life. He knows, he understands what you are going through. The writer of Hebrews says that Jesus is a high priest, the highest, a high priest who understands. The writer says he's touched by the feelings of our infirmities. He can relate when we cry out to him. For unto you is born this day. I like the immediacy of that announcement. This wasn't an event way off in the future. This wasn't a promise of something coming. The angel wasn't saying, watch for it, because someday off in the future this is going to happen. The prophets had testified that the day would come, that a light would shine among the Gentiles, that Bethlehem, a ruler, would come, that his name would be called Emmanuel, God with us, a virgin would conceive. All these prophecies had been made, but those prophecies were made 700 years before, 500 years before. And so this wasn't something far off. This wasn't a prophecy to encourage people to hope that someday, somewhere, a Savior would come. Not this time. There was no more waiting. It happened. Happened today. The angel said, today is born a Savior. Christ is born today. That's what the shepherds heard. And there's an immediacy in that announcement for us as well. Christ is born. The Savior has come, and action is required now for us. He's here now. We don't have to wait for salvation. Now, the Bible says, now is the day of salvation. Now is the moment. And the shepherds responded immediately without delay. The Bible says they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby. They didn't delay in coming to the Savior, and neither should we. Salvation has come, and it shouldn't be ignored by any of us. Don't postpone a decision about accepting his offer of salvation and forgiveness and eternal life. Do it today. Surrender your life to Jesus. Ask him to forgive your sins and be Savior and Lord of your life today. Like the shepherds, let's hurry to him. Let's come to him. For unto you is born this day in the city of David. Bethlehem was King David's birthplace, his hometown. It means house of bread, and how appropriate that the one who would be called the bread of heaven is born in the house of bread. And this phrase, that he was born in the city of David, reminds us that although he was fully God and Savior, Messiah, he was also fully man, a descendant of David. It also reminds us of the fullness of God and the faithfulness of God in keeping his prophetic promises. Everything God had spoken in the Old Testament, I just mentioned those prophecies like from Micah and Isaiah and others. All those prophecies came to pass when Jesus was born in Bethlehem. I'm telling you, we can believe God even in the hard times and trust his faith, faithfulness, that he will honor his word and his promise to his people. He always keeps his promise. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. We're almost done. You know where the end is. And here's the heart of the message. Here's the source. Here's the subject of the good news. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. A Savior is born. And not just a Savior, but our Savior, the one and only Savior. You see, there is no other like Jesus. The Bible says, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Only Jesus can save us. He alone is the Redeemer and Deliverer. He's the only one that could, was qualified, the only one that could have died on the cross as the sacrifice for our sins. For everybody else would have just been sinners dying for their own sin. But Jesus, the sinless Son of God, bore your sin and my sin in his own flesh and died as the substitute, the sacrifice for our sins, so that we could be forgiven and have eternal life. He's the only hope for us and for this world. There's only one way to God, only one way to eternal life and to heaven, and that is through Jesus, the Son and the Savior. And this is the only good news I've got today, and it's the only good news we need. Jesus is the Savior. He is mighty to save, and Christ is born. Jesus has come to save his people, to save us from our sin, and we can turn to him today and find salvation. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ, or Messiah, the Lord. We talked about it last week. He's Savior, Messiah, and Lord. He's the anointed one. And this isn't just another baby. This isn't just a Messiah for the Jews. This is not just a deliverer for that group of some sort. No, he's Savior, Messiah, and he is Lord. He's Lord over all. He is everything. You see, this baby whose birth we celebrate on Christmas, the Holy Scripture declares he is the image of the invisible God. He's the firstborn over all creation, for by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth. Let me find my spot. Things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. And he's before all things. And in him all things hold together. And he's the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he, Jesus, has the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Listen, that we could take weeks to talk about that passage. He's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, the creator, all things, heaven and earth, all things were created by him and for him. He's before all things. Everything holds together in him. Without Jesus, it all falls apart. He's the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning, he's the end. He's everything. He has supremacy. All the fullness of God dwells in Jesus. He has come among us. This is who the angels were talking about. This is who the shepherds went to see on that holy night. He is Savior and Messiah and Lord of all, and he has come to save you. He wants to be your Savior and to be the Lord of your life. Good news, tidings of great joy. Christ the Savior is born. That's what we need to know. That's who we need to behold. That's where we need to fix our gaze right now in this crazy year. He's where we need to fix our gaze in the midst of the pandemic. Let me just tell you, everything else, all the political stuff and the unrest and divisions of all kind and all the pandemic stuff, all the sources of conflict and division, all the opinions out there, none of that will matter. It won't amount to anything 2 seconds into eternity. The only thing that's going to matter is whether you believed and received the good news that the angel came to proclaim on that night so long ago. A Savior is born to you, and he's Christ the Lord. Will you believe and receive him as your Savior and Lord? You're worried about a lot of things, worried about, should I take the vaccine, worried about getting the virus, worried about the economy, worried are we going to make it, worried about what the presidential outcome is going to be, worried about strife in the cities, all those things. You're worried about all those things, all those things. You're worried about how you're going to make a living. You're worried about you're going to have enough money. All those, I get it. You're worried about all those things, but I'm telling you that 2 seconds into eternity, none of that matters. Not one bit of it matters. All that matters, did I know Jesus? Do I know Jesus? Do I know my heavenly, do I have a heavenly destination? Do I know what my eternal destiny is going to be? A Savior is born. Will you believe and receive Him as Savior and Lord? If you will, regardless of anything else that occurs in your life, you'll know what good news and tidings of exceedingly great joy are really all about. Friends, there's good news. A Savior has come, and He's come for you. And the decision is yours to make. Will you receive Him as Savior and Messiah and Lord in your life? And I just encourage you to open your heart to Him today. On this Christmas Sunday, what a perfect day. What a perfect day to make Jesus the Savior and Lord of your life. Hear the good news again. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Now right there, I don't know, you may be watching alone, and maybe you want to just turn around there at your couch or your chair and make an altar out of that, or just make an altar out of that room that you're sitting in right now. Kneel at your bedside. You don't have to kneel. Wherever you are, whatever position you're in, it's about opening your heart to Jesus. Maybe your family's there with you. Talk with them about it for a minute. What do you guys think? I feel like I need to surrender my heart and life to Jesus. Do you all want to do this with me? Maybe the whole family. What a glorious Christmas this would be if the whole family makes that decision. We're going to surrender our lives to Jesus. We're going to ask Him to forgive our sins and be the Savior and Lord of our lives, each one of us, and we'll serve Him together as a family. So I'm going to pray, and I just ask you to just open your heart to Him today. Believe in your heart. The Bible says if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we'll be saved. We call upon Him, and just call upon Him. Just tell Him, Jesus, I believe that You were born and that You lived a sinless life. I believe You died on the cross for me. I don't understand how it all works, but I believe You died on the cross to take away my sin. And so, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Save me and help me follow You and make You the Lord of my life. It's just that. It's believing and declaring it, saying it. Jesus, I'm going to live for You. Let me pray for you today, and you pray with me today. Lord Jesus, I thank You that You came born as an infant, born as a baby, born of a virgin, to live a life, a sinless life, so You could die as the perfect, sinless Lamb of God, sacrificed on that cross, taking my place and bearing my sin so I could be forgiven. I believe that. I believe You died for me. I believe You rose again. I believe You ascended to heaven. And I believe You're listening to my prayer right now, and that You offer forgiveness to me. So Jesus, I ask You to forgive my sins. I ask You to forgive my sins. Come into my heart, take away my sin, and give me a new heart. Give me new life. Oh Jesus, let me have Your joy as You forgive my sins. Let me have Your peace as that guilt and shame is taken away. And let me live for You and serve You. Starting today, this moment, Lord, let me experience that joy that comes from knowing my sins are forgiven and that I can serve You and live for You. Jesus, I receive You into my heart right now. And Lord, for everyone that prayed that kind of prayer, everyone that prays it from their heart and just says that amen, we repent and we turn to You. Lord, I pray for Your grace to be upon them. I pray for Your presence to fill their heart and to fill their lives. I pray, Lord, I know it's not about what we feel, but Lord, I pray that even now some can just sense the presence of God, that something is happening right now in this moment that is life-changing for them because Your grace has come to them, forgiveness has come, and You've set them free. For the Bible says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Lord, I believe You to break off the shackles of sin, break away shackles of addiction, break away shame, break off the blinders, Lord, that have kept us blinded to the truth about ourselves and our need of You, and we turn to You today, Lord Jesus. We believe that a Savior has been born. It's for us. You came for us. And so we surrender our heart and life to you today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for coming to redeem me. Thank you, Lord. I worship you. I believe you are wonderful and counselor and mighty God and everlasting Father and Prince of Peace. And I thank you for saving my soul. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, if you made that decision, God bless you. I'm excited for you. If you'll reach out to us, if you go to our website, cagtulsa.com, and you can connect with us there, just say, hey, I prayed with the pastor Sunday, and I asked Jesus into my heart. We're going to be praying for you. Give us your information. We'll pray for you. We've got resources we can send to help you. If you have a Bible, if you haven't been reading one, well, get a Bible. You can download an app. There's all kinds of ways to access the Word of God. But begin to read. You may want to just start reading in Luke, where we've been. Start right there in the Gospel of Luke in the New Testament, and just begin to read the story of Jesus and about his birth and the miracles. You'll read we want to help you be able to begin this new life with Jesus. And so thank you so much for watching, all you Carbondale folk. Again, we'll be online. Don't forget our candlelight Christmas Eve service. It too is online, all online. No, nothing in-house this week. And so online, but you'll be able to watch it. Usually it's at 11 o'clock at night. I think that's the plan at my house. We're watching at 11. But you can watch it anytime starting at 9 o'clock on Christmas Eve, 9 o'clock that morning. So you'll be able to gather with your family. I hope you'll do that. Gather with your family. We're going to take communion together, and so get some juice or crackers or whatever you have to be able to pray with us and have communion at the close of that service on Christmas Eve. So join us then, and then next Sunday we'll also be online for the last Sunday of December, and so keep that in mind. Remember, we're postponing the business meeting, all those things. Thank you for your prayers. Thanks for watching us. I pray that you and your family have a very, very Merry Christmas, a safe Christmas, but a wonderful Christmas together. God bless you. We'll look forward to seeing you at the Christmas Eve online with the Christmas Eve service. Receive the blessing of the Lord today. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.